It's often been said that Jesus didn't claim to be God, that he was just a good teacher. So when he healed the paralyzed man that some friends lowered down through the roof, and when he forgave the man's sins, what was he claiming to be? And does it really matter? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective. Just fantastic to be with you again today, because we're continuing on in our series that I've called A Day at the Office with Jesus. You want to know what someone's like, then you follow them around for a while and you'll discover exactly what they're like. And so that's what we're doing with Jesus through the account written by Luke the physician, Luke's Gospel in the New Testament. Why are we doing that? Because I know so many people who, well, they believe in God and maybe even in Jesus. But things get so busy in life, we keep going for the executive summary. We might hear about Jesus, we might even learn about Jesus, but that's not what it's about. You and I, we need to meet Jesus. We need to encounter him for ourselves and to know him for ourselves. Then we can make our minds up. Is this the sort of Savior I want to accept into my life? Is this Jesus the sort of God that I want to learn from and allow into my life to transform my life? See, I have nothing to shove down your throat. I don't need for you to agree with me whatsoever. My heart, my passion, is to have some small part to play in introducing you to this radical Jesus so that you can make up your own mind. And my prayer is that you'll grow in a dynamic relationship with him. But that last bit, that's entirely up to you. Now, we're going to pick things up today again with Jesus teaching in a house. He spoke and taught wherever the people were, and as usual, the place was packed to the rafters, not just with people who were enthralled to hear what Jesus had to say, but with the religious leaders who, frankly, were trying to find a way to entrap him. Why? Well, these crowds that were following Jesus, they were their crowds, their congregation members, the people who traditionally filled their coffers with their cash. So Jesus was drawing their followers away from them, and in so doing, he was seriously threatening their power base. And not only that, he stood completely against a lot of the things that these religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, taught. See, as we saw last week on the program, they'd come up with a bunch of rules and regulations that they'd heaped on top of the Old Testament law, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of what we now call the Old Testament, was the law, God's law. But by the first century, the scribes and the Pharisees have completely perverted that and added all these ridiculous rules to oppress people. And who Jesus was and what he did not only threatened their power base, he offended their theology to the core. So these guys were sitting right up there in the front row, ready to find fault, to pick an argument, and ultimately to entrap Jesus. They were guys who, at the end of the day, plotted his crucifixion. So let's pick up the story, beginning at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day, while Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. You have to love this. How outrageous. They come to Jesus carrying their friend. They can't get in, so they climb up onto the roof, rip the roof off. Just think about the practical physicalities of this. Tie some ropes to the stretcher and lower this paralyzed man down, try not to drop him along the way, and they plop him right at Jesus' feet. Right in the middle of this scene, with Jesus preaching to a packed house, and the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, are there ready to pounce. Have you got the scene? Have you got the picture? And Jesus loved it too. And he knew exactly why the scribes and the Pharisees were there. So, Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God himself? When Jesus perceived their questions, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven to you,' or to say, stand up and walk, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, stand up, take your bed, and go home. Immediately the man stood up before him, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen some strange things today. So, does Jesus shy away from this confronting situation? A man who's paralyzed and needs healing by faith. That's how Jesus healed, by faith. Faith in his dad, who would do the things that he physically as a man was incapable of doing. Does he shy away from the threat of these plotting religious fanatics? No. He deliberately uses this as a time to do two things. Firstly, to heal this paralytic man who's come before him through great faith and perseverance, not only of the guy on the stretcher, but his friends. But also to do something very, very important. To claim to be the Son of God. To claim to be God himself. The Pharisees asked the right question, who can forgive but God himself? And the answer is, no one. So either Jesus was blaspheming the religious view, or his God, Jesus' view. I've heard people say that Jesus never claimed to be God. That is just plain false. He did, and he was. And in particular, this phrase he used of himself, the Son of Man, you hear him using it time and time and time again, is a claim to be the Messiah. It harks back to the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 7. Have a listen. Daniel 7, verse 13. As I watched in the night visions, I saw like a human being, literally the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship that all people, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. So Jesus, by labeling himself as the Son of Man, is referring to Daniel chapter 7 here and clearly claiming to be the Messiah. No ifs, no buts, no maybes, and he was making a powerful point. Out of his great compassion, he healed this paralytic man. That was amazing. What an impact. But even more powerful, more amazing, is that as the Son of God, he forgave the man his sins. And in so doing, he was saying to the Pharisees and the scribes and all assembled, and to you and to me, through his word and through his deed, I am the Son of God. And I have the authority to heal your diseases, and I have the authority to forgive you your sins. And if you don't believe me, then watch this man get up and walk. That miracle was a powerful sign that attested to the truth of what Jesus was saying. Friend, no religion, no denomination, no bunch of religious rules heaped on top of the Bible can contain this Jesus. Whatever you and I have been told, we need to discover this Jesus of the Bible, the Son of Man, the Son of God, because when we encounter him face to face through faith, he cuts through all the religion, he heals us, and he forgives us. That's where it's at. Not religion, Jesus. Social media, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. But we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one simple, practical, and powerful way that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that with your friends too. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.